Bless you all. I want to bring you a very important message today. I feel it is time for me to let you know what the Lord has been speaking, what the Lord has been saying for his people in these times. A lot of persons may be wondering, are we in the end times? Are we in the last days that the Bible spoke about? Many persons might be in doubt, wondering, is it this that the Bible has been talking about? You know, the Bible speak about the last days, perilous time shall come. The book of Revelation speak of some tribulation period. It speak about the great tribulation. It speak about what happens when Jesus Christ returns. Now, God told us that many false prophets would come. He told us that many will come in his name, saying that he is Christ. But he's saying, don't believe him. He's saying many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. That's what he's saying. Many will be deceived. So, let me tell you what the Lord has been laying on my heart. And sometimes we have to think about our lives. We have to get serious about it, because this is what salvation is about. This is what redemption is about. This is we looking for the author and the finisher of our faith. This is our faith. This is what those who have been beheaded, those who have died already, this is what they were looking for. And now we are in it. So for all those who have been doubting whether or not we are in it, or you have been asking questions, where are we in the great book? Where are we in the Bible? And if you have been asking such questions, it therefore means that you have acknowledged that the Bible tells us about history. It tells us about prophecy. So it's also a prophetic book where some things has already been fulfilled. Some time ago, I woke up with something that the Lord spoke to me about. He said, abomination of desolation. And I did not know what was the abomination of desolation. So of course, I went on the internet and Google, and I typed in abomination of desolation. And I saw where it came up in two places. One place that it came up was in the New Testament, where Jesus was speaking and giving the signs of his second coming. What should we look for? And then the abomination of desolation was spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And that would have been in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel chapter 11. These are references. Daniel chapter 11 verse 31 and Daniel chapter 12 verse 11. So these are the references for the abomination of desolation. That's for another teaching though. What I want to point out today is the signs of Jesus' second coming. So for all those who have been asking, how do we know where we are in this holy book? I'm going to show you something. The other day I was wondering too, because in 2019 December, the first week of December, I heard a loud sound, a voice, and it spoke in my language. To my surprise, it spoke in my dialect, Patois. And it was this: Gada, come. And it was with such urgency. And when I woke up, I'm like, Gada, come. And just for those who don't know what Gada, come means, that's patois. It means God is coming. The Almighty God is coming. Just as how he said in the book that he is coming back. That's what it meant. So I heard, Gada, come. And I woke up. And that was 2019. So that's when I really started to proclaim God is coming. And then the ministry, Revelation 13 verse 9 ministry, the end time ministry as well. So I've been given the mandate to proclaim God is coming. To proclaim about the Antichrist. To proclaim about any falseness, any deceit. You know, so that the body of Christ is not deceived. And the evangelism aspect for the lost souls, because there are many lost souls out there. There are many sons of the Most High out there who are lost, that we need to draw in. So that's just a little bit about the ministry. Revelation 13 verse 9 ministry. And that is www.revelation13verse9.com. So you can visit the website. There are a lot of teachings there about the real rapture versus the false rapture. Many teachings on there about the second coming of Christ from a biblical perspective. Scriptures, references that you can look up coinciding with things that is happening today. So just go over to the website for more teachings. And as the teachings come, then they will be released on there. Right? Alright, so let me get on to what the Lord has laid on my heart. He showed me Mark chapter 13. Remember, the question now is, where are we in these days? Where are we really in the scriptures? And he pointed me to Mark chapter 13. Now, Mark chapter 13, starting from verse 5, speak about the tribulation. Now, Jesus was speaking. The disciples asked him a question about when these things will happen. And he said that, take heed lest any man deceive you. So, you see, he's talking about deception. Then he says in verse 6, so it's Mark chapter 13, and I want you to read that chapter in your spare time. Just meditate on it. We are people of God, and he said that we should study to show ourselves approved. Now it says in Mark chapter 13, verse 6, it said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You hear that? Many. And then if you read on and go on, all the way around to verse 23, it says, take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So he's telling us before the time so that we are not deceived. So in this teaching, and this is an extensive teaching that will go on as a series in different parts to show you the signs of the last days in terms of just before Jesus come. So the last days began in Acts chapter 2. When the pouring out, when there was a pouring out of the Spirit of God. Let me turn there. Acts chapter 2, it said the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord, in one place. And then there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then verse 4 said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in Joel chapter 2, this is a prophet, Joel from the Old Testament. In Joel chapter 2, Joel prophesied into the future. So he prophesied this very day that occurred in Acts chapter 2. He spoke that in the last days, God shall pour out his spirits on all mankind. And he's saying that We'll dream dreams. We'll prophesy. So we'll be getting more revelation because the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out on us. Remember, Jesus even told his disciples that he will not leave us comfortless, but when he ascends to heaven, he will ask the Father, and the Father will send down a comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So in Acts chapter 2, we see where the Holy Ghost come down and the disciples were filled. So this is the first manifestation of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Right? So we know for sure that we are in the last days, because the last days began 2,000 years ago, on based on Acts chapter 2 and based on the prophecy of Joel chapter 2. So without a doubt, we have been living in the last days. But how do you know it is the last days of the last? Meaning that Jesus said, when you see these signs, you know that he's at the door. So he's very close to coming. So he's closer than he was when the disciples got the infilling of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Now, I myself, as I say, was asking the question in my heart, you know, God, you say, in 2019, God, I come with such urgency, right? In 2020, the same December, I heard it now in the English form, but it was not as loud as in 2019. This time he says, God is coming. So it's like it settled in, and he was just saying it normal. God is coming. And I wrote it down. Now, in myself, we are human beings, you know, and in some way, some form, our earthly bodies are attached to this earth. So therefore, we are somewhat in between being here on the earth and being in the spirit with God, which the better part is really being in the spirit, out of this flesh, and being in the spirit with God. So we have questions. Sometimes we have doubt. We wonder, we've seen all of these things, and we are wondering, are we really there? Are we really at the end of the end, just before Christ appears? So we ask ourselves these questions. And he pointed out Mark chapter 13 to me. And Mark chapter 13 speaks of the tribulation. So brothers and sisters, do not doubt yourselves anymore. And I'm speaking, today is Sunday, September 12, 2021. So I'm just marking the date for future reference. We are in the tribulation, according to Mark, according to the word of the Lord, not my word, in Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 5. So proclaim it, let everyone know, we are officially in Mark chapter 13, which speaks of the tribulation. Good. Now, as I said before, this is a series in to speak of the signs just before Christ comes. Now, one of the signs that he speaks of in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39, and Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 27, and it says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember now, this is one of the signs, because Jesus laid out many signs. And remember now, he said that when you see these signs, watch and pray and prepare yourself, you know, stay prepared, ensure you have oil in your lamp, because he's coming. And as I said, in proclaim it, he's coming. He's coming, brothers and sisters, he's coming. He's coming. No more of the talk that, oh, you know, from we've been old, or we heard our grandparents, from we've been young, and we heard our grandparents saying that you know, Jesus is coming and they have lived and to 100 years old and they have died, and the parents come and the parents live to X amount of age, and until now Jesus Christ cannot appear. But remember, those persons who speak such thing, you know, they are basically, based on the word of God, they are fools, because Christ already predicted all of these things and said, look, when you see these signs, just know that it's closer and closer, it's getting closer and closer. Alright, so one of the signs, as I said, Matthew 24 verses 37 to 39, and it is also found in Luke chapter 17 verse 26 to 27. It says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, it is Christ. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. You hear that? It's not just any eating and drinking, you know. I'm going to show you, dig deeper in it and show you what exactly Jesus was alluding to here. It said they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's comparing it to the days of Noah and telling us what was happening in the days of Noah, and telling us that just as it was in the days of Noah, it is the same way it shall be just before the Son of Man appear. In Luke chapter 17 now, verses 28 to 30, he said, likewise also, so he give us two signs. One, the days of Noah. And now he's telling us that it will be also in the days of Lot. It said that they did eat and drink. They bought, they sold, they planted, they built. You see the activities that were happening in those days. But I'm going to show you, remember, Lot is the one from Sodom and Gomorrah. I remember Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. So I'm going to dig a little deeper to show you what was happening in the days of Lot. And then you now can compare it what is happening now in our day. Same thing with Noah. You will be able to compare now what's happening, what happened in the days of Noah, and what is happening now. Alright. It said that, and you can reference what happened in the days of Noah in Genesis 6 and 7. What happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when it was destroyed, and that would have been in Genesis chapter 19. Alright, now let me dig a little deeper. So remember now, the signs, the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot. Okay, and you can read about those, Genesis 6, 7 and 19. Alright, what was happening in the days of Noah? It said they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Now I want to zoom in on that part where it says they were marrying and giving in marriage. In Genesis chapter 6 verses 2 and 4, it says that people were multiplying on the earth, daughters were being born, and the sons of God, the watchers, they saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You hear that? They took them wives. These are angels, you know. Looked down and saw that the daughters of men were lovely, and they took them wives. So they came down and took them wives. Now it says in verse 4 that they were giants, and the translation is Nephilim. So there were Nephilims in the earth in those days, and also after that. So this is just before God destroyed this place with the flood in Noah's time. Remember, we're talking about the days of Noah. So there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children. You see, here it is, you know, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. That is very important. They came down. Remember, they say angels not to marry. That is why God banished those set of people, set of angels, into hell. He locked them up in chains into hell. They call it Tartarus. That's the name of the place that they are locked up. They are bound in chains until the judgment because of what they did. Right? And God had to destroy that seed out of the earth. But remember now, he said that just as in the days of Noah, when marrying, they were marrying and giving to marriage, which he was talking here about, the main thing, the corruption of mankind, meaning the giants, meaning the angels came down and mated with human beings, which God forbid that totally. Alright. So remember now the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we're going to wrap it up, put it all together. Jesus, God said to the first people, Adam and Eve, and he was speaking to the woman here. He said, I will put enmity. He was speaking to the serpent, because the serpent came and deceived or beguiled Eve, and she did what God said she should not do. So it's not even about eating any fruit. It's about the disobedience. It's a disobedience to God. Listen, you know, it's a disobedience to God that caused men to fall. So God said, don't do it. And the serpent came, deceived her, tricked her, and she did it. And Adam did it as well. So God said in Genesis 3 verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now I'm establishing here that there are two different seeds in the earth. The seed of the man, and the seed of the serpent. Remember, just as in the days of Noah, it shall be in these times that we are living in now. The last days, the end of the end. Right? So we have to look for these signs, you know. The children of God versus the children of the devil. And you might be wondering then how the devil have seed. I'm going to show you how the devil have seed. In Genesis 3, the same Genesis 3. And we can pinpoint verses 6, 11, and 13. It said that Satan, which is a serpent, found a way to spiritually plant his seed into the woman through her disobedience to God. And let me prove it. The issue with Cain and Abel. How did Abel become evil in the first place? Because remember, Cain, how did Cain become evil in the first place? Because Cain killed his brother Abel. But where did he get that from? Now the Bible said that the devil is a murderer from the beginning. That's a John 8:44. He's a murderer from the beginning. He might talk about the beginning from Cain and Abel. Listen carefully, you know, from the beginning with Cain and Abel. And right there, so he was talking about when him say he's a murderer from the beginning. But you might wonder, Adam knew Eve, and Eve conceived, and have two sons, Cain and Abel, but one came out righteous and one came out evil. It comes back to the seed. Remember, God said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. The woman's seed or the man's seed mean human beings. And the devil. So the devil have a remnant. And how it came about? The disobedient to God. Listen again, you know, the disobedient to God. So two different seeds dwelling in the earth. 1 John chapter 3, 7 says, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Listen, you know, he that committed sin is of the devil. Listen, you know, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Hear it, you know. The beginning. Whosoever is born of God. So you see, there's a There's a seed of God. It says, whosoever is born of God. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 3, starting from verse 7. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, this is God's seed, remaineth in him. That is the one born of God that doth not commit sin. So he cannot sin because he's born of God. But hear what he says now. He says that whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So he's talking about Cain here. He gave the example of Cain and Abel. He said that he that doth not love his brother is not born of God. And he gave the example in 1 John 3 verse 12. He says, not as Cain who was of that wicked one. Cain is of the devil. Cain is of the serpent seed. He said that not. Listening, go to 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. He's giving us the example of Cain and Abel. Mean Abel is from the righteousness. He's born of God. And Cain, remember, this is from the same parents, you know, Adam and Eve. But remember, I'm saying enmity. He's going to create enmity, hatred between them. So them not ever go like them one another. Righteousness versus the unrighteous seed. I remember the unrighteous seed is the children of disobedience. So 1 John 3 verse 12 give us the example that Cain belonged to the wicked one, and that is why he slew his brother, because his own works was evil and his brothers were righteous. His brothers was righteous. So listen to that keenly. So it said that hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Because remember, the children of disobedience. I want you to listen to me keenly, you know, because this will help you so much in making it when God should appear. The children of disobedience is Satan's seed, and they are in the earth. No. How do you know that you are not a child of Satan? It says that you have his spirit abideth in you. It's a whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So if you're committing sin, you are of the devil. That is what it is saying. So you know the difference between the children of disobedience and the children of God. And it further highlights the children of disobedience, which is the seed of Satan. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says that the prince of the power of the air, which is in the spirit now, in our time now that we're living in, his spirit is what is working in the children of disobedience. And as I said before, the serpent, Satan, the devil, that old dragon, is the murderer from the beginning, based on John chapter 8, verse 44. So I just showed you the difference between, I remember it goes back to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. So I'm showing you what was happening in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. I'm showing you that there's a seed of Satan and there's a seed of God in the earth. And today, this day that you're living in these days, you can see the difference. And how you know the difference? Who is born of God, of the Spirit of God, and does not commit sin? The one that is not born of God is unrighteous, full of hate, loveth not his brother. They are the children of disobedience. So see, I just wrap it up there for you. Now, you might be wondering, you know, there's a question, and I might have addressed it before, about Cain, how Cain got his wife. Now I'm going to say quickly, this is just a trivia question, how Cain got his wife. People might ask, then who Cain married to when God put him out there? Who he married to? I'm going to show you Genesis 3 verse 20 and Genesis 5 verse 4. That is the answer. And if you believe the word of God, then you will believe what it says. It says that Eve, because she was the mother of all living. She is the mother of all living. So therefore, everyone came out of Eve. So where did Cain get his wife? Out of Eve. A daughter of Eve. Now, it says in Genesis 5:4 that Adam, it was telling of the lineage of Adam. And it says that Adam begat sons of daughters over a period of, he was 120 when he got saved. And let me just quickly check. Let me quickly check here. When did the Bible say Adam died? Alright, so Genesis 5 verse 4. So it said that all the days, verse 5, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. So between the time of 100, alright, here what it says now, Genesis 5, 4. It says that the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. 800 years. So between the time of a 800 year period, Adam had sons and daughters. So just imagine how many children Adam bear during that time. And you remember those children are children, and they are children's children. And in Genesis 5, it was given the lineage in terms of the male that came out of Adam. So there you get the answer for the Cain situation. So that was just a trivia question. Right, let's get back to the teaching now. The signs. Alright, the mating now. The mating part of it now. And I'll have to do another teaching on the mating part of everything. But just know, I just want you to know that angels can walk amongst man. Walk amongst us and appear as men. And there's an example of this in Genesis 19. And it speaks about the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it tells us that two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Right? And Lot saw the angels, but he saw them as men. He took them in, of course, into his house. Maybe he was running a bed and breakfast. Who knows? Right? What kind of business? Maybe he was doing tourism. I don't know. But Lot took them in, right? And it said that when it was time for them to sleep, the men of that city came there demanding that the men should come out, that they can know them. And you know, when they say know them, meaning they want to have sex with them. Men, you know, want to have sex with other men. So therefore, you are seeing a little snippet right there. Genesis 19 verse 5, you are seeing where they're really talking about homosexuality there. So therefore, in the, one of the signs of the times of the last days would mean that men will be bold enough to come forward, like bold in the open, not hiding anymore that they are of a homosexual lifestyle. But it will be so much out there in the open that it's like it's a way of life. So remember, just as in the day of Noah, just as in the day of Lot, so will it be just before the second coming of Christ. And we are seeing that now, even more prevalent than before. Think about 10 years ago, a man was a homosexual. He was hiding it. It was not in the open so much. But think about it now, 2021, people are allowed to get married. Man is allowed to get married to another man. A woman is allowed to get married to another woman. In America, in Italy, in those places, they call it pride, rainbow pride. So they even taking the rainbow from Noah's time, where God gave us the promise that he will not destroy earth with water anymore but fire. So they are trying to take that rainbow now to mean pride. Their homosexual lifestyle. So they are now in the open. They even have a flag. So they are not hiding. They are not in hiding. They are actually in the open now. Getting married. Being married. Having their festivals. Celebrating it. And pushing it on believers who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And not a woman and a woman. And a man and a man. And they are even passing laws to protect themselves. So that if you, as a Bible-believing Christian, speak anything against them, then you will be taken to court. You will be charged. And in many cities now, that is what is going on. So I'm just showing you that the signs of the times are here. Do not doubt anymore, because just as it is in the days of Noah, just as it is in the days of Lot, so shall it be just before the Son of Man comes. And remember, go and read Mark chapter 13, because God spoke directly to me that this is where we're at. We're at the tribulation. So I just gave you one of the signs. And in teachings to come, I'll give you more signs that you should look for. And I'll match it as well with what's going on now in the earth. So that no more will you doubt, oh, where are we in the Bible? Oh, I wonder if we're really there. I wonder if God's coming really is close. What I'm sure about, the Bible tells us that we don't know the time or the hour wherein God, the Son of God, coming. But as Christians, we are not to be caught unaware. We should watch and pray. But listen me now. I can guarantee you that we don't have 2,000 more years leave. Because based on the word of God, Him say He's at the door. When we see these signs, He's at the door. So we don't have 2,000 years coming. The Antichrist will soon come on the scene. See, they are implementing things now where they're telling you, if you don't take something and you don't have a passport to show that you took it, then you can't travel on certain airlines, you can't go into certain stores, you can't even worship in church, because you don't have the passport to show that you have took a particular thing. And they are telling you, look, they're closing you out of banks, they're closing you out of certain systems. So it's already been implemented right before our eyes. It's just a matter of time that the Antichrist, Son of Perdition, will be revealed. It's just a matter of time that they'll say, look, you have to bow down to this system, you have to bow down to this statue. If it's a statue they will be making, they say, look, you have to bow down to this statue. They have something now that they have these giants that they're putting up in the cities, you know. Look it up. Some huge giants, some huge things where they put up. And it's technology, you know, because the thing can transform. I'm going to send you something, send you, or put it on the website to show you where it's like they have a little thing, and little thing on the ground, and then the light comes up and it portrays a huge image of a man. But this thing can be transformed any time of the day. It can be transformed into any image that it wants to, and it can speak as well, because it's managed from a central database. And they have planned now to put these in all major cities across the world. So they are planning to implement this. So just imagine what this world will be like. So that's just a little snippet. I hope I did not bore you. Take the time to go over all the notes that I've given you. Take the time to go over it. And I just want to leave you with this hope that God will not destroy this earth with the righteous in it. Remember that. Remember, your Father in heaven loves you. Watch and pray. And a question, a takeaway question. How will the ungodly seed, which is the seed of Satan, how will that seed multiply in the earth in these last days that we live in? Alright, bless the Lord. Remember to go to the website www.revelation13:9.com. Bless you, bless you, bless you.